crack open a cold one, kick back, and enjoy a week's worth of conversation from pop culture, sports, breaking news, and everything in between. Welcome to the Pine Room Podcast. At the beginning of the podcast each week, everyone on the show rolls a 20-sided die. The person who rolls the lowest number then becomes the moderator for that week's show, and it's their job to move the conversation along and switch from various topics or questions that can be found on the moderator's cheat sheet or custom ones they've brought in themselves. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to contact@thepineroompodcast.com. Well, that's enough of that. Let's get into the show. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
All right. Hello, everybody. I wanted to say this the last time I started, but we're back. We're back. Episode 115 here at the Pine Room Studio. To my right, I have a guy by the name of Jubb Delbrook, Chris Pavlik, Matthew Watson, and myself, Jeff Doyle. Good afternoon, fellas. How's everybody doing?
Hi, Jeff. You look good today. Well, you look spry. You're wearing the white.
Yeah, the viewers are probably wondering why he's not in business casual attire. Well, Jeff's got a vacation week, so doing some home improvements, and it's good to have him. Enjoy a cocktail and relaxing with the wife. Big post one game tonight.
Yes.
I don't know if you can see it. It's probably not on camera. If you're just listening, go watch this right now. I don't think you can see it, but there's just the very top of a beverage here.
It'll make it into the picture
there
at some point.
It is.
Make that a little bit easier.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
Work in our company policy. No drinking.
Yeah, right. Who said that, Coach?
That's Coach's policy.
Yeah. No. We don't drink. We're all serious.
I think
all
this
business.
Building in general is very
there's been a lot of beers in this.
I was going to say. Yeah, actually, who's
what's our size? 10 by 10? Whatever.
10 by 10, yeah.
10 by 10 office. We've drank a hell of a lot of tin in here.
Yeah.
Who's the HR representative that's going to slap my hand?
Lola. Lola, she's very anti-booze.
Yeah, she hates beer.
Need to make sure that I don't actually cross paths. It makes me nervous a little bit.
Yeah.
Jeez,
well, please. Jeff, you did well enough your first hosting job that you were asked to come back and host the second.
Yeah.
Job.
Hey, there we go.
You did well, buddy.
I appreciate that very much so.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's a beautiful day out here in Welland, West Bygaude, Virginia.
It is nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Boy, for the first time, I was sitting in the office, and it actually feels, it's kind of cool in here because the AC has been like off forever, but the AC was on in here, and I said, I'm going to go sit outside and get a little warmth out there.
Oh, that's
first time in a long time. That I've done that.
That's a rarity for you.
I know. I love the cold, but I have no way to be warm in here other than going outside.
Well, I'm the same way. Sometimes I get tired of like being in my car all the time, and it's super cold or in the house. I like to go outside and just feel some heat.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Just go out and just stand in the sun. I'm not out there for hours on end. Yeah. I'm not going to sunbathe, but I'll go out there like a little solar battery. I just need a little boost. That's all I need.
There's something to that, though. I tell you what, it just feels good on the body when you're a little bit frigid, whether because the AC inside or whatever, but going outside and getting that vitamin D on the face like Jubb is doing right now, you need one of those old school like tin things.
Like a foil, hitting the face. I'd never been, for the first time in Ocean City, was the first time I ever laid out in the sun. And I didn't take my clothes off, but it's the first time I just laid.
That'd have been really cool if you took off all your clothes and said, for the first time, fuck it.
He's
I'm
going.
Just letting it go in. Let's
swing for the fences.
Are there nude beaches in Ocean City?
No, it's a family. No. It's a family town. We don't even have strip clubs.
Jarrett wound up not on a nude beach, but he ended up on a gay beach.
Ooh.
He took a picture.
Did he go to Rehoboth?
I don't know what he did, but he took a picture. He drove his car up onto the beach, which I don't know how you can even do that. But he drove the car up and took a nice picture. And on Snapchat, you can scroll.
Is this down in Florida?
And if you scroll, it has the location that you can. Like if I took a picture right now and scrolled to the left, it would say Wheeling, West Virginia, or downtown Wheeling.
Came up gay beach.
Well, yeah. It came up with something gay beach. And Jarrett, it just came up with the name. And then if you click on it, it comes up to the location. The first thing is gay beach. And so Jarrett posts that picture with him in his car, with a nice picture of his car and him. And then if people click on it, goes to gay beach.
Gay beach.
Yeah. And he didn't even have it. He had no idea.
I know that technology wouldn't have been around 20 years ago, but can you imagine 20 years ago somebody identifying a beach as being the gay beach?
Gay beach.
That's very interesting.
I don't know what makes the beach gay, but I mean, if that's your
maybe
thing.
Maybe it's the people.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably a fair statement.
But even still, I mean, what do you do? What's different?
I don't understand that. Now, the nude beach and top, which not something that I'm participating in, but at least it's a different thing. Like, There's no reason why. Like, two umbrellas down, if there's two dudes there that are gay, I'm not noticing it. I don't care.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, what, they're not bothering me. I'm not going to bother them. And so, I don't understand why they have to have their own area.
As long as they're not playing fucking music, it's 1,000 decibels, and they're throwing shit around and hitting my tent. More the merrier. I like when a beach is full. I like when people.
What about a sword fight? Like, if you'd see a sword fight, would you be a little behind?
I'd be,
little,
be worried about
well,
that.
I'd say just take it into the water.
Maybe that's water. What they're able to do there. Sword fights.
Maybe that's the identity. That's
maybe that. Hey, maybe that's what's going on.
Chris, I saw a documentary, and they were showing the most dangerous beaches in the world. And there was a beach in Hawaii that nobody goes in because the rip current is so hard that takes you out. But the waves were gigantic.
That scares me.
But I thought you like a good wave.
What? Not the most violent ones.
You don't want like a 40-foot wave?
No.
There might be tsunamis coming with that there's a volcano starting to bubble up.
That, yes.
Yeah, in Hawaii right now, it's had like 500 tremors already. Yeah. So we might be in a tsunami warning out there on the Pacific coast.
Good thing where we live on a hill.
Being one of those.
Oh, well, that whole ring of fire from down along Japan all the way down through Asia and then all the way back up the western United States. I mean, that's a dangerous area.
Have you ever seen footage of a tsunami where they'll be on the beach
out.
And all the water goes
it's
out?
Crazy.
But then people don't know and they run out into the beach this is cool. There's no water here. I'd be running the other way so fast.
They put all those new tsunami warnings in a lot of those countries because of what, all the way down, Malaysia, Indonesia, they have like protocols. It's like mandatory. If you are staying at a hotel, you have to follow. They play the siren. You have an exit route. And yeah, but you're right. In the smaller areas, people don't know anything.
None.
They don't know. They've never seen it on lesser inhabited places. People were going out there, and then that's it.
Well, that one in Japan that was a couple years ago. That people just got mauled over because they probably hadn't experienced such a thing in a while. But Japan, they get the rough hand of weather.
Yeah, they have the most accustomed to having tsunamis of anybody. Actually, obviously, it's a Japanese word. Tsunami.
Yeah.
So they definitely are used
a reason,
to it.
Right?
Yeah,
and they
absolutely.
Seem like they suffer the most devastation.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, just
definitely.
Wipe. I mean, the body count. And
that
just the
tsunamis. They have hurricanes that hit them. Godzilla.
Yeah. Right.
Got,
to mention you got to deal with him. Yeah.
That's bad.
Mothra.
Yeah.
I'm not going there. I'm just not going
to
go.
I'd love to go there, but yeah, I would not want to stay. I'd be checking the weather reports
100%.
Before I go, and
yes.
I'm going into the city. I'm not going out. There's a fly in here. Jubb, is that fast fly we talked about today?
Have you guys ever been caught up in anything in the ocean that is, I'm sure we've talked about this before, but have you guys ever been that moment where like, oh man, this is kind of different?
I had some rip currents when I was younger, but I actually like to me it was really stupid of me, really stupid. But like you're like a late teenage person, you think you're real smart, and you're like, oh, I'm already a good swimmer. This isn't going to bother me at all. And it got never where I was panicked because my dad had kind of taught me what to do. Mm-hmm. But like if you didn't have anybody that told you what you were doing out there, I mean, it was like it's almost like you're getting sucked into like a chamber. Like it's weird that the amount of pressure that's on you when you're trying to break that hold to try to get in to the shore, and you're like trying as hard as you can.
Nothing
to
you can do.
Get in your like power. You're powerless. You have no. You can't. You that shore's so close. It could be where that desk is.
And you could even have just, your feet in the sand.
Yes,
and
you could be standing up, and in which you're doing a lot of the time because you're. I was obviously kind of tall, so I could. I wasn't like I was going under, but like it's like man, when I gotta. So then you gotta start angling, and you gotta start slowly figuring out how you're gonna figure out a way to get in. And you know, as long as you don't panic, you'll be fine. But when you wear yourself out and you're not a good swimmer, that's when it's over.
Well, yeah, because then you try to swim against it, swim against it, swim against it, then you're done, and then out you go. My dad once, believe it or not, he had a few on the beach, and he went out.
We know this story is definitely starting off false.
right. That sounds unbelievable already.
Fact check, yeah. No, but he went out, and the waves are pretty hard, and they were crushing. Just
is
like
this in Florida?
One after another. I think it actually... It might have been in Myrtle Beach because it was for a baseball thing, but one after another, these waves are just boom, 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 and we were playing in them, having fun. But he was hammering. I think he had to go pee, so we went out into the water, like chest deep, and actually might have been even that. It might have been waist deep, but these waves started hitting him, and he couldn't get up. He could like he would get hit go down, hit, go down, hit, go down. And then eventually, like, you're going to run out of gas and just get pulled out into the wave. So Jeff Wilkinson, who was there at the time, Coach Wilk, he's 6'6 and huge. He's built big like dude, a tank.
Yeah. It's like a pro wrestler.
He stomped out of the water, and it looked like a movie. Like, he went out to his knees and just reached down and grabbed my dad by, like, the scruff and pulled him up. It was unbelievable, and then walked him back to the shore. But it was those one of that time where it's like, you, if he was by himself there, he's done.
Fucked.
He's finished because he couldn't get up, and he was just going to get sucked out into the water. And you
probably
see how
just going further out too.
Oh yeah, and then you realize how, like, if a parent, some neglectful parent, leaves their kid out to just go play in the water,
mm-hmm. It's like that boy in Jaws.
Yeah,
he's out there. And he got eaten. That.
Never saw him again.
Do you guys ever get, minus the riptides and stuff like that, like get literally kind of like on those lines, get pounded by a wave? Like, I know one time I literally got pounded and it pushed me up against the ocean floor, yeah. Man. And if I actually would have hit a little bit differently, I may have been having some neck issues and yep. Stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like, in it, literally, I got up and I was like, I just got hit by a fucking yes. linebacker in the NFL. Like, didn't yeah. know. Got to get my faculties again. Like, you guys ever
100% had that
crazy,
face
man.
Full of sand, like almost like. My God, and you see, like, in videos or movies or something where, like, somebody will go down in and they'll hit their head on a rock or yeah. something. It'll mm-hmm. be, and, like, you're thinking like that. And it, not even that it was a rough surface, but you, that sand and the shells grinding up against your face. And it's like you get a mouthful of water and you're like, oh, where am I? Am I going to die? Like, you're right. It takes you a minute. It's like, did I get a concussion? Like, it is.
It's
incredible how powerful the water really is. Water's just something to behold.
Because you think about how you jump in the water and everybody thinks it's all soft. You jump in, even close to the shore, jump in, dive in. But I've same thing. I got my head smashed up against the sand. And that sand's not soft. I mean, if you get hit hard, it's like at
it's very abrasive.
Yeah. Yes. You get hit hard, and like you said, if you're under it, you get disoriented and not know which way's up, and then even getting up is not fun. But
not at all. Yeah. But actually, one last thing about the ocean. I think we've discussed this before, but that shower at the end of that ocean day when you go up and you get that fresh clean water hitting you and stuff, there's just something. And then you throw in one of those in the shower with you.
Oh yeah.
Do you feel life is
really fucking good?
Do you like the feeling afterwards of being cool, clean, and you put a new fresh pair of clothes
just
on?
A big difference, man. It is.
Sit in the AC for a little bit.
Right?
Now, are you of the variety that you get your shower after a beach day, you get your shower, you get out clean, and then do you hang around the condo or the beach house or the hotel room, and then you just drink and you're good?
No.
Or are you you're going to drink and then you go out
to eat? The dinner.
Without a doubt. We're very big on late dinners at the beach.
Right.
And actually don't want to have a whole bunch of structure, but at the end of the day, you try to set something aside on a time frame just so it's not completely a lost day. But definitely get up somewhat early, get down to the beach, spend the whole day at the beach, come up, exactly do what you say from a standpoint, fresh shower, fresh and clean. Don't get your clothes on to go out to dinner. Sit around for about an hour or two, maybe have a couple cocktails,
and then
overlook whatever, and then it's dinner time.
Yeah. What's your favorite meal at the beach?
Well, just because obviously I'm definitely a seafood guy, so you can't get much of that around.
Yeah.
You can get it around here, but it's not as good as obviously the beach. So hands down, something on those lines. But like, it doesn't need to be that 7 days a week by no means.
Are you a Matt, like a raw oysters, like that kind of
I don't think
seafood?
I'm as I think he's probably a little bit, his taste buds are a little bit better than mine when
advanced.
It comes to the extravagance, but I will try anything.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't be able to go toe to toe with you.
I don't know anybody of my friends or family that eats oysters anymore. My dad doesn't eat them as much as he used to. My friend Kevin doesn't because he had an allergic reaction to them. So I'm like the last one.
But I love that stuff, but I don't think, I think you're probably a little bit more open minded than
Chris,
I am.
Chris, do you eat oysters?
No.
He would do clams probably. Most people, oysters are not for everybody. They look like hell. They look terrible, and they're weird
they taste
texture.
Really good.
They're awesome to shoot with. You've had oyster shooters before, haven't you?
And
you chugged that thing down. Yeah. Where was that at?
I was in Georgia. I was down there in Alpharetta, Georgia, where I did that one time. And then, then you got an order of fried oysters.
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, there's a
right. I tried it. I mean, I'll try anything, but I'm not going to order them on my own. I don't.
Hey,
like seafood, but not so much
we crush those mussels
Oh, those things are delightful.
100%.
You like
that? You should have got two of those.
Like garlic butter mussels.
$13 a plate.
That's a good value over there at Bull on the Beach.
Yeah, it was really good.
Good God.
Hey, and back to something before we switched from the beach talk. You say your dad went out and he had to pee out in the water. How much urine do you think you've swallowed from the ocean in your life?
Well, I mean, it's what everybody does.
It's salt.
The only hope you got to have is that it's so diluted that it doesn't get to you. But you for sure have touched somebody's.
It's better than fresh water these days. That's more danger in fresh water now than salt.
We went my first experience was in Deep Creek Lake was just recently, and it was the first lake I've ever been in, and it was for the first time that I could get in water and I wouldn't have the burn and the taste of, and it was really off-putting. It was really weird. But like that, we had to pee, and like there's nowhere to go out there, so we just put the boat in neutral, get off on the back of the ladder, go, get back in the boat, and keep going. There's just something – I don't know.
Well, you don't like – and I think you said that when we were on vacation. You don't really like hanging at the beach, do you?
No. And I'll tell you my main gripe – is the sand. I don't like sand.
You don't like sand in your asshole?
Well, and I guess I'm okay with sand before the period I hate is getting into the water, then getting out of the water. I hate that. If there could be sand and then 50 yards of concrete and then the beach, okay, I would love that.
Meaning you're wet and it sticks all over you?
Yes. Yeah, but if I could get out of the water, be on concrete, dry off, then go to the sand. But then I get out of the water and get in the sand. I get it everywhere. It's in my socks and shoes and
every hole you have.
Yeah, it's like ears. But I hate the sand. Dry sand, I love it. It's nice and warm and it feels good to lay on, but
What's it have to do, in all due respect, because obviously you have longer hair, so I've never had longer hair. Is that a pain in the dick, too?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, after this wedding I have to be in, I'm going to probably chop it off.
Are you really?
It's been the biggest pain in the dick. I never wear it down anymore because it's so long, but Hannah just trimmed it yesterday, or Sunday night, or Sunday evening.
What are we talking when you say trim?
Just like 2 inches off of it, like cut all my dead ends off, but it's ran its course.
I can't wait to see the new you.
What is going to be the new you?
I think I'm going to get like what you got going on, just a little longer on the top, shorter on the sides.
Jeez, I don't even going to recognize you.
I got to get rid of it,
though.
What
about the facial hair?
I'll keep that. I'll trim it up a little bit. If I get rid of this, though, I look disgusting.
What?
Horrific without facial hair.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you right now, I look horrific.
You're going to probably look like a little boy like I did.
Well, you at least, here's the thing, and here's the distinction I make between a face type like you. You have a long face. You have a longer face. Okay. My face is completely spherical. If I shave and cut my hair, there's a cartoon Caillou. I look exactly like Caillou if I shave everything off. I shaved my face my last year of college. I shaved my face just to see what I'd look like, and I was so disgusted with how I looked that I wore a hoodie like this to my online classes. I didn't show my face in my online classes because I was
that
so
bad?
I hated it.
Jeez. I was trying to find a picture real quick of you without it because I don't know if I had one, but I feel like I did, and it'll take
there's
me
there's probably
days to
when
find.
I was probably 16 when I had short hair. Because I
had a
out.
Picture of you. Actually, I got it right here. I got lucky. Uh-oh. I found the right year, 2015.
Good scrolling, Matt.
Oh no!
So that's Jub and Jared. I'll even put this. You can put it up to the camera when we went to see The Force Awakens at the. IMAX.
I didn't have facial hair.
You have the true definition, as do I. Unfortunately, there's benefits to having your shape of face and mine. I just look like a horse head, but like you do, you're gonna have the baby face. Just like
it's horrible,
without a doubt.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I see nothing wrong with that.
I don't see nothing wrong with it either. But if you're not looking,
I
like
look
15.
And the way I got sweats, double sweats, a hoodie and sweatpants.
It was freezing cold out.
I look like I'm sick. I look like I have like
sick.
I look like
I'm
sick.
Jeez.
Like Matt. This is like Matt took me out for a movie.
definitely it was one of those like, make-a-wish.
Yeah, like I wanted to go see this movie, so Matt took me out for the evening just as my last hoorah.
Now, the best part about it is when, unfortunately, you have a baby face, and if you would pray at that time, you maybe didn't have it. Well, you probably did, but no hair on your nuts, and you sound like a little girl talking.
Hi, guys.
I used to get the phone calls back in the day before I hit the puberty, and people thought that I was a girl on the other end of the phone.
See, good for me, and which made me feel good is, and I know we're going on a tangent here, but when we used to have our home phone, I would always pick up the phone and I go, "Hello," and everybody thinks I'm my dad, and and that made me feel good because I felt like a grown
Mark.
Man. Yeah,
there it
I
is.
I go, "Hello." I always do the "Hello," and then people always think I'm him, and I would have to explain who I was, but they always go, "You sound exactly like your dad."
Jeff, I don't know if you remember because I don't know how long you lived by Mark or how long it's been, but Matt remembers
this. I actually know exactly where you're going
with this. When these guys used to have the buzz cuts.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you went somewhere else.
And the minute your hair got a little bit long, I mean, it's just funny
once every 2 weeks.
Zip it.
How his hair is now compared to when he wasn't allowed to grow it out. And, you know, it almost like, you know, back in the 70s or in the 60s when people were, you know, becoming hippies and letting their hair grow. It would drive him nuts.
Yeah, once every 2 weeks.
What did you guys think he was going to say?
I thought he was going to say the phone in our garage.
100%. That's where I thought you were.
That would ring real loud the whole neighborhood.
I remember. I can hear that. I remember that phone.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, in the garage.
I remember the phone being there.
Such a loud ring, and I would hear it from Cooley's house, who's like lives two or three houses down, and I would hear somebody call in the house.
Without, and then you would hear
it on the
back end.
You could hear it at the firehouse, I feel like.
You'd hear about on the back end. Hello. Hello.
Yeah. And funny thing about that phone, Hannah was over, and right behind that, it's in the garage, so there's just tools and shit on a wall that's all beat up. But my dad, before he had a contact book, would write numbers on the wall.
I remember that.
And he had there are hundreds of numbers on the wall from people that like I know that probably are passed away now that are on the wall just scrawled in different like shops and stores, all kinds of numbers.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with that. You know what that equals is debt. Somebody owed him fucking money.
Yeah, right.
Debt.
There's another one.
Hey, you just got done saying they may not be with us anymore. There's a reason why they weren't with us anymore. Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, you guys were talking about before we went on air about time. And you guys were saying about the fact of matter of watching a clock. Or do you guys think that is hands down, is that in between our ears? Like, say, back in the day when you would sit in a classroom, you knew the class would be 50 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And the more you watch the clock, the slower it would be. Do you think that is, obviously, there's still 60 seconds in a minute. But do you think that is just in between your ears? Or do you think that truly the more you pay attention to time, that it is in reverse speed?
Mental. I would say
definitely mental.
But I think that the more you pay attention, the more it feels like that you've been here forever. Because I would look at the clock in classes I didn't want to be in or when I was tired, and it felt like I was sitting there for 30 minutes and 2 minutes on the clock passed, and that was hell on earth.
But just remember though, how good you felt though, the opposite. Like if you took a while to look at it, and then you looked, and there was only like 10 minutes left.
Yeah,
like, oh my god, time's going fast.
Focusing on like a paper or something, or finishing problems, and you look up, and you're almost done.
I don't have that problem much anymore as you get older, though. Like the time just goes fast all the time.
I wish it was the other way now.
I would agree.
It seemed like, you know, when you were younger, the weekends were the only thing that went fast. Yeah. Now the work week, like you said, Matt, all 7 days,
it is so
just
true.
Fly by.
The good is in the bads.
It is the goods and the bads.
Sunday used to be so depressing, especially in like elementary, middle school. I used to be so depressed on Sundays. My parents would always get mad because I'd be just so, I'd mope about like, this is it.
I remember, and Chris will remember this too, but like back when before Pine Room days, when we had the basement bar.
Oh yeah.
And it would be Sunday night, and like Chris sometimes would have to take Derek and Emily down to Elaine's house, and then he'd come back up maybe for a little bit. But man, once your mom or dad was like, "All right, it's time, let's go. We got to get upstairs, get ready for bed, get ready for," it was like everybody's head dropped. And I remember you took it the worst because you definitely were like, "This is awful." Like,
because all I want to do is be up and
playing
party.
Video games. Yeah. Kirbo's there. We're having a good old time. D'Lo and Emily, and it's like, and the same thing for us. It was work.
Yeah,
and it was like, oh, I'd rather be you guys than have to go to school.
I think D'Lo equally despised school as much as I did. Because hated school.
No, he was a good student, but yeah, he hated it. And I remember, Matt, because we were, it was different because we – well, not different, but I don't know what time we would get to Mark's house, but we spent the good
– It was usually in NFL days. Yeah, it was more NFL back in those days.
I remember you guys
watched the 4 o'clock games over, then we turned on Greed.
Yes.
Lingo.
Yes.
And then Ben, you guys were playing that – what was that drum?
Rock band.
Rock band. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so then – because when the kids were that younger, right, you know, they had to get up and go to school, and that was depressing. And it's always depressing when you have to go back to work after vacation.
For sure. The worst, actually.
Yeah, it is.
The worst.
It's the worst.
So do you guys think, though, that's all wrapped around negative connotations, though? Because I agree with what you said, Matt, from a standpoint of, unfortunately, the older you get, time does fucking fly by. But I think I would attribute it to, so if you sat in a classroom, you were looking at the clock and like, fuck, this is in reverse speed. Sitting at work, if by chance you are a desk job and all you have is a clock to look at, it's reverse speed. I would also throw in probably working out. Like if you have the mindset where you didn't, you don't want to work out that day.
Right.
I feel like time's fucking, like that 30 minutes or 45 to an hour is fucking horrible when you don't want to do it. Yeah. But like when you're in the mood for it, it's not as it's bad. And it feels like it kind of goes by fast.
Or if you're listening to something or you're watching something, if somewhere you had a TV or you're on a bike or whatever, and if you get something interesting, then the time will go. But if you're like struggling to find anything and you're like, oh my God, it's brutal. Is dragging on forever. I don't like this as it is. I don't want to sit here right
Chris,
now.
Chris, you might be able to relate to this is when you go on a walk, there have been times when I forget my headphones or I'll forget my phone like in the car and I'll get started and then I'll be like, shit, I don't have anything to listen to, and then I'll just keep checking my watch how far I am. It's like a quarter mile, quarter mile.
Oh yeah.
And it's the most miserable. But if you get good tunes on, you listen to maybe a show or something, life's you just good. Focus on that, and it's like the walk doesn't, it's like secondary to what you're paying attention to.
If you get invested in something, absolutely.
100%.
And to piggyback off what you said about time, it just seems like to me, like these guys were just little kids. Your son, I feel like when the Pine Room was just starting up, I feel like Luke was still kind of a young kid. 100%. You were doing pitching workouts with him, and now he's like a damn grown-up adult. He's like crazy, a college guy. He's like... I treat him as he's like an equal now, like as far not that he, you know what I'm saying, like he's like a grown up,
without
like
a doubt.
It's totally
there's no
different, and that transformation just happens so quickly.
It does, and that is so true, and it's actually very scary if you want to know the truth. But I agree with you. It is funny on how just from a Luke side of things, like you, not that we would ever hide a conversation around Luke because he was even when he was first but like you're right, like there would be nothing that you wouldn't say in front of him now.
Yeah, now it's just he's one of the guys like somebody, he kind of always was, but then some things you would say, like I remember even Chris or somebody would be like, oh yeah, we may not want to say that in front of him, like just out of politeness for you guys, like
say it somebody
some people don't want their kids subjected to our smut, smut peddling.
I was always
do.
Respectful with it because I remember way back in the day when my brother used to cuss in front of all the kids. He did like
the little girls and stuff.
My favorite time ever.
And then
he had no sense of
ever.
And that's how I always was before I really knew you, Jeff. And you'd bring Luke around, like, well, I'm not going to curse in front of the kid. But then if you would do it, and then other people, like, well, then it's acceptable. Right. And I was fine with it.
It's 100%.
Got to feel it out.
And one other thing about Luke is, he, just like all you guys, he's engaging. So you don't have to pry words out of his mouth.
You don't just get the yes and no's.
He's going to elaborate and. So he's all you guys. It's fun to converse with.
I would agree with that.
It's not a struggle to have a conversation.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
What were you saying?
Well, I was just going to say that your brother Tim, my cousin, he when we would go stay with him for a few days, like up in Pittsburgh, we would go and Jarrett and I were young, like in maybe like 10, 11, 12, and we would stay up with Sam and his sons, and he would just cuss and yell and scream and make us laugh, just be vulgar, and we weren't really used to, like my dad cusses, but not like
no. He took it
degree.
To another level.
And he would just make us laugh and he would do stuff and just whatever. And as soon as we got in the car to go back home, my dad would always say, whatever he said, whatever happened there, it stays there. Do not tell your mother. And then we would go home. And then we couldn't wait till the next time to do it. But in the Pine Room, I do remember somebody, it kind of became a joke, though, when he got a little older, was when somebody would cuss in front of Luke, they go, oh, sorry, Luke.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and then, but even as he got older and everybody cussed anyway, somebody would cuss and go, sorry, Luke.
Only if they knew before he came over the Pine Room, I literally motherfucked him.
Yeah.
Right, you did.
And he was like, hey, this is gentle compared to what I'm dealing with across the street. Right. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. That's funny.
But no, but because I was that way too, and then so you know you're cursing in front of him every night. I mean, us as a group, once we knew it was acceptable, but then it's like, well, he has arrived, so he starts cussing.
It's true,
yes. Once he started dropping him,
part of the group.
Once he started dropping him, I remember we were on the way to a pitching thing after. It was like one of the last times I ever worked out with him. And he drops it in the car, and I go, oh, here we go. I was like, now he's here now. He's arrived. He's here.
He's arrived.
It's crazy how that becomes, as crazy as this sounds, like a rite of passage.
Yes.
It really does. Like, I remember, like, even dipping my toe in the water with my dad. Obviously, you don't come right off the bat and say, fuck. But, like, the shits and the dams, like, as you, the older you get, and then you say that, and your dad either accepts it or doesn't accept it. Like, it is kind of crazy how, I don't know if that's, I don't know what the fuck it's called, but I don't know if it's manhood, but it is. It's a rite of passage.
Well, you know, you're one or two, like, you think about it, like, is your dad's probably thinking, well, I wonder when Jeffrey's going to start cussing. Like, you know, because you're with your buddies and you're growing up in grade school and then you get
the proud father moment,
like,
right?
Well, I know, you know.
Now that's we're animals to some extent. Nowadays, we're even more animals, but it's amazing. Like the comparison I can make is you said like a rite of passage. It's like in our DNA of how it's going to work out. It's like salmon swimming back to where they were born, like thousands of miles, and like these turtles that swim 3,700 miles to go lay eggs where they were born. That's our rite of passage as primate males is
vulgar.
Vulgarity.
But and there's a difference between being able to participate in the vulgarity, but when you start it, start the conversation that turns, that devolves. Right. He started one, I can't remember exactly what it was, but when we were in the Pine Room one time and he said something that was just heinous and I was like, oh shit, here we go. And guys just were going nuts. And it felt good that there's a new he has adapted now to the level.
New blood. Luke was always really he's such a polite kid and he knows when he can say that stuff and when he can't. And when he was a kid, it's like you're talking about a player and he would say like something polite about a guy like that wasn't doing a very good job. Now it's like, fuck that bitch. That guy's a bitch. Like he's like, and I'm like, yeah, you're right, Jubb. He's like arrived now. He's like, let it all go.
Do you? And speaking of, speaking of that and the vulgarity and heinous and cussing and that stuff, do you find it odd that people are offended by that? Like, would you ever find yourself being offended by somebody's language? And now, obviously, if you're like in a funeral and if somebody's dropping fucking shit, which I guess we have been there.
I would never be offended, but I do feel uncomfortable sometimes when I know, like, my mom doesn't care for the language.
There's
ladies of, you know, more advanced age, polite ladies that don't talk like that. I don't feel comfortable doing that very often. Like, I'll let it slip sometimes with my mom, but I try not to. But if somebody's really, really, like, over the top, and then they get, like, with the sexual stuff, that kind of makes me, but I feel like I know they're not comfortable with it, so I kind of feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I guess the situation dictates the language. So, like, if you're in a dining scenario, dining with, like, maybe four people that you don't know, like we know each other, but like somebody that's at the table that is vaguely
like a
aware.
Business colleague and their wife or something. Like you go out and then you don't know them well.
Yeah, and somebody starts cracking jokes or like getting to a level that's like, and what always ticks me off is volume. Like once the volume gets to a certain level and it's that kind of vulgarity, then I'm out. You may notice
other people looking over.
Yeah, then, but I would never personally, if somebody came over, like if somebody came in this room and started dropping, like I wouldn't be at all offended.
Same.
At all.
I do think it is, though, very age appropriate. And I don't know if that's 100% fair, but it is. I think it's age appropriate because if Luke was dropping F bombs at 8 years old, to me, it would be a failure as a parent.
I agree.
Might be a little early. We were known that was like the words you said if you're that young and you're getting your mouth washed out with soap, like back in our day.
Yeah. Now, here's what I would extend that to. What I don't know, don't hurt me. So if by chance Luke was amongst his friends and they thought it was cool because they dropped the F-bomb, whatever, that's out of
my
control.
They all laugh, yeah.
But at the end of the day, like if it's in a group setting and all of a sudden my 9-year-old saying fuck, I'll be honest, I'd have a serious fucking problem.
Especially amongst a group, it's like you're not here yet. You're not at that level. Right. You're that's not true. At that level yet. You didn't level up enough. You're not here yet.
You can't skip fair, steps, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel weird like swearing in front of my grandma or something like Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever did that. Like, because I wasn't even enough of an age. Now, my dad's mom, I would have been, but there's something inside you. It's like an impulse. You know, like, who you shouldn't say that around.
Yeah, like Pauline, when I used to take her to her hair appointments, she never swore. She would say, like, damn every now and then, and that would make her laugh. But I would never, ever be, like, get in the car and just be in a bad mood and go, this fucking bitch.
Like you're driving, look at this fucking guy cut me off. Fuck you. And you're going out the window.
Yeah.
And Pauline loves it, maybe.
She might have honestly liked it, but I would never do that. I don't know why that is, though. It's just seniority,
it's just
I guess.
Just the way you're raised,
well,
though.
It's like, respect factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't hear those ladies swearing like that.
Yeah.
So, like, if you had, like, a grandma or an aunt that cussed a lot, then you would feel a little more. But, like, we didn't have that. Like, cuss words weren't prevalent. Like, my parents didn't cuss a whole lot at all.
My parents at all.
And my stuff was all, like, stuff I was around my buddies, and it's like you get brought, like you said, into the. You're away from adults, and then you know that gets a little foul, and you're feeling real vindicated by being able to yell fuck at your friends.
My dad cusses a lot. Well, he would in front of us, like when we were little kids, like if he was watching something or he hit his elbow or something or whatever, he would cuss, not drop it in casual conversation. But as we get older, then he cusses. My mom didn't cuss for the longest time. She would never say the F word, never say anything, maybe damn every now and then. Right. But she would never. Recently, she lets it fly now. She lets it go.
She's
now.
Got a lot of fucks to get out of her system. Yeah. You guys. Yeah. Living with you guys. Yeah.
Because I remember, I think it was the beer mow, and I think we were inside after it was all said and done. And I think she was kind of tuned up. She was having fun. And
she had a great time that day. Yeah. Just to be very clear,
probably the most fun that I've seen her have in a long time.
That's always a welcome factor. But go ahead, Chris. Yes.
And she, I don't even know what was going on. It could have been something to do with that horse race that got blacked out at the last minute. And I remember her just saying something to the effect like, "Yeah, fuck that motherfucker," or something like that. And I'm like. That's
Patty.
Good job,
see,
man.
See, I like that though. Like you weren't like, oh man, that's not like her. You go, yes.
That excites you.
I've been waiting for this, Patty.
Yeah.
Where the hell's this been for the last?
So she's got a foul mouth now. She's retired.
Not like a sailor.
Retirement
now,
brings out the foul
but
mouth.
She'll let it fly every now.
Good,
and then. Like
if
she gets mad or she's doing something, she'll let it fly. Now
gotta let the stress out.
Or I'll scare. I'll scare and she'll drop it on me.
Like,
and
what the fuck?
Yeah,
son of a bitch.
You fucking.
Dessert is an essential part to a quality life, and quality desserts make life all the more better. Had a long day at work and you need something sweet? Maybe you're out late and you need the perfect snack to cap off your evening. Or you're just a dessert lover with a knack for the finest of sweet treats. Well, say hello to the Brownie House, home of the best brownies ever. A family bakery dedicated to baking the world's best gourmet brownies, baked with premium imported chocolate, high-quality ingredients, and no preservatives. No prepackaged, pre-made, fake-tasting chocolate, no. These brownies are made from scratch, shipped nationwide, and delivered right to your door. And starting right now, you can head to yesbrownies.com and use the code PINEROOM, all caps, during checkout to receive 20% off your order. For the best brownies and more, take a trip to the Brownie House.
So I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth right now because obviously it's probably one of my most favorite words. And at the end of the day, that you do need to know your audience. But do you not agree, and this is where I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, do you not agree that when it's forced, it sounds way worse than if it is just quote-unquote part of Matt's normal Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's people that try to force it, and just to make mm-hmm. them, I don't want to use the word, say, make them look cool or sound cool, yeah. but...
No, you're right.
There's a barrier.
You can kind of tell, too.
Yeah. And I even thought, like, are we going to, like, when we first started this, and it was pretty much you can say whatever you want, like, or is everybody just going to just start saying fuck because we can?
Because we can, yeah.
But I don't think we really have.
Yeah.
But no, you're right, though, Jeff. I totally agree with that. Like, if it's forced, then it comes off as...
Yeah,
not
fake, genuine, yeah. just mm-hmm. not a real part of what you're trying to do. Right. You're trying to put on a show, maybe. Right. Yeah, which we don't have a lot of. We don't have anybody that acts
no
one really acts outside of their natural selves, especially when we're in.
Yeah, this is pretty much.
I mean,
it.
On the radio, we have to clean ourselves up a tad, so we got to be a little bit more wrapped up, but mm-hmm. not. Yeah,
if we didn't have to, it'd pretty much just be this.
Yeah,
on the radio.
It's not much different.
Cleaning the format up, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's like the amount. Like if you hit above a certain amount of times you say it in a given,
and I would agree.
Then you know that something then
loses its effect.
Yeah,
right. But at the end of the day, like I can't define that. Like right now, for me to define what you're trying to say, I can't define.
Yeah.
that. But if you're in the moment,
you can sense it.
If you're in the moment, like you feel like, well, what job?
Why are you doing?
Well, like why are you doing that right now?
Yeah. yeah.
It's weird.
Hey, you know what we should do? I think next episode that we're on here is this foursome. I think we should set the record for the amount of fuck said in a show.
I'm on board.
I think we could do it.
Do I need to sign something?
Because I think what is cool, that I think is really cool about that kind of language is why is that word considered the worst of all words?
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Because it really is just a word.
It's just a word.
But
yeah,
if you,
I agree.
And then
makes
if,
no sense.
If
like instead of saying fuck, if you just said koof, like
yes,
reversed, like
exactly.
same
maybe,
thing.
Maybe we koof. Should.
But
we
I asked that question
you
too.
Koof
I asked
bitch.
That question too, and I know it's obviously it's taboo to say the word, but like words that offend people on racial guidelines and on religious.
It's a good point, Matt.
It's a fucking word. And I mean, people raise hell like it is. You should be nailed to the fucking cross like Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry. That is extreme. I don't think people should be called that. They don't want to be called that. It's totally okay. But you got to calm down a little bit. I mean, it's not. Would you rather be called a word or stabbed?
Well,
I'm saying the word. I'll be good with that.
I think if it and also because I think
really
I think like didn't Joe Rogan say it and he was like he got crucified for it for a little bit. Now it didn't affect him super.
Right. He was so big.
Was it Rogan?
Yeah, because he was saying
it,
but he wasn't. Now I think there's also a difference. If I'm vitriolic and I'm
calling someone
to call somebody that.
That's true.
Now if I'm in a conversation where it's. Obviously, I would never.
What if
say
you're
it.
Singing a song?
But like,
that part really bothers me.
That's also too. There's a song. Joey Diaz had a good quote. I think it was Puff Daddy. I think has a song that has that word as the title. It's in the title of the song.
Does it end with an A or an R?
I think A.
Okay.
But either way,
from my understanding,
it's in
that's
the,
different too, right?
Either,
yeah. Go ahead.
Either
apparently.
Way, it's in the title of the song, so. Saying, I mean, I don't know how you'd go about saying the name of the song if that's what you want to do. But anyway, my point of what I was saying, I think the difference, he was saying it in a context of like just bringing the word up in conversation, like as far as what it meant and what the meaning is behind it. Whereas I think it's totally, I'm not going to say it either way. But
yeah, no,
but
I'm not condoning people that do because it's obviously a problem. But go ahead.
But like in I don't know how it could ever be used. Well, here's another point. How like it's used in movies and stuff. Like in Django Unchained, Leonardo DiCaprio says it like 1,000 times. Like I don't know how that's not taken out of.
I know. I wondered that too. Like, are they mad at the actors that portray that say that in movies when you're trying to go back to historical pieces where they did talk like that to people and they degraded people, which isn't right. But that's the way the world was.
It is.
And for you to do that and go into character, to me, it's not any different than me reading lyrics of a song and then I'm fired from my job because I did.
I guess if we had a word that was like used on us in a scenario like that, that was like derogatory.
What word could get you that upset?
I don't know, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything that could be called. Literally nothing that could be called.
I'll be honest with you. I'll take it one step further. I've been a big dude my whole life. We just got done talking about heads. Heads.
Yeah.
I'm a big headed. I've been a big dude my whole life. Like, it would literally, like, if somebody came up and said, Doyle, you're a fat fuck. You got a big head. Like, there would be nothing that would literally, like, make me crumble. make me so. And I understand that.
Pull out your piece.
Yeah, and that's not fair because I know people look at derogatory in different ways and different aspects. And I think negative connotations, it's horrible. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're set off to say words to purposefully hurt somebody, that's a fucking totally different ballgame. But to allow a word and you let somebody else's words hurt you, to me, in my opinion, that's just fucking dumb.
The whole body shaming thing now is ridiculous. Now it's off the chain.
Meaning,
people that are like Miss America and
two of them step down.
If I'm a bigger guy, I'm way more overweight than I should be. I could accept that, and you know why I'm that way? Because I like to eat. And I don't like to work out.
God we're all of advanced height. It'd be even worse.
I don't have a disorder. I don't have a health problem. Well, I do have several health problems, not related to my to my weight. Could be, but. Jesus. I don't think it.
You're a fucking mess.
He's the youngest one of us here.
I don't know what they are, but I have problems. But I don't think you should be able to, as a person that is overweight, unless it's which I think is like a 1% of people that are overweight actually have some sort of medical condition that makes them that way.
And it's true, 100%.
I don't think
the
you
other
should
89%
be able,
are just fat.
I don't
just
think
unhealthy.
You should be able to like be me. Upset for being disqualified from positions such as Miss America, who is the Miss America was like. This year, she was a very heavyset woman who was larger. Like, she got crowned Miss America. I don't know what the ruling is on Miss America and how that's judged. I don't know how it's judged on how you're perceived or whatever. But people were like, mad because it hasn't happened before that people that are overweight should be Miss America or on the cover of like. Some model magazine.
Right.
Exactly.
But don't you feel like it's forced now, though?
That's what I'm saying.
If it was natural, okay.
I
would agree.
But you shouldn't be in that position. Just number one, there are two sides of that coin. You shouldn't be in that position because people feel bad for you, and you should be in that position because you're alienated. Two, you shouldn't be able to complain for being alienated from positions that are supposed to be the peak of human form, like Men's Fitness. I'm not on the cover of Men's Fitness, and I never should be because I'm not the peak of human of male stature. But I guarantee you there are people that are upset because they're not on the cover of Men's Fitness, and they don't look like Mr. America. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that.
You go back to the self-awareness.
Here's another point.
Well said.
There was a woman that was really upset on a plane because she was massively overweight, which fine. If that's the way you want to live, if you want to eat and be and not do anything, I'm cool with it because I like to eat. I don't like to work out.
Not on my 600-pound
life.
That
is true. Right. But she sued the airline because the seat wasn't big enough. I don't think that's fair to be able to do because you put yourself in that situation. And now if you want to be in that, and I'm sure I'll get some hate for this, and I don't really care.
Bring it on.
I'm overweight, good. And I can be in that part. But Ricky Gervais made a good point. Why does my bag have to be 50 pounds and I'm 220 pounds? Why does my bag have to be 50 pounds when a guy that's 300 pounds has a bag that's the same weight? So now he's 300 pounds plus a 50-pound bag.
Yeah.
My 220 pounds plus a 50-pound bag is only 280 pounds.
Right.
So I should be able to go all the way up to the weight of the heaviest guy on board.
That's a good point, man. I never even thought about that. Wow. That would cause a fucking shit show if that starts happening. Good luck with that.
But anyway, if you're overweight, I don't hate you.
Well, and that's why I wouldn't – like, I need to lose weight if I choose to. So if people are going to make fun of me or something, that's on me. It'd be different if I was born without
a hand
and people are making fun of that. That I had no control over that.
Right.
But I can.
But if you eat yourself into.
Well, right. Yeah. And then you're making fun of me or just making fun of fat people. I can do something about not looking that way if I choose to. But
don't you guys feel like that? Like fat people are the only, and not even fat people, like chubby, little overweight. Are the most made fun of group now? Don't you think? I mean, they're the only people left you can make fun of on TV. You can't make fun of anybody
else. Which I guess kind of goes to
except
what Chris
white
is
straight
saying.
Males. They would be close
which I
second.
Think could, but, which goes to what Chris is saying is
dying
that
breed.
That's an active status that you have a hand in altering.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
Like, you can't really, I mean, Michael Jackson did it, but you can't really alter your skin color. You can't really alter, like, what else can you alter that people make fun of? Like,
you can, I guess, if you want to take away wrinkles or yeah,
like,
that kind
like
of stuff.
Being bald, yeah. Like that you can't really. I mean, I guess you could if you want to.
You can't do anything about being short.
No. Yeah, that's like, another thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you were born handicapped, there's nothing you could do about that. Right. You shouldn't get made fun of for that.
Yeah. So I guess the only thing that
but
is
if
there.
If you're a fat pig, and I'm telling you, every one of us in here likes to eat, I'm not condoning.
Dude, sign me
I'm
up.
Not even condoning being of average weight, but if you let yourself go to where you're bedridden and you get bed sores and they got to use a forklift to get you out of the house. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You took a couple extra bags of Doritos that you didn't need. Like,
like my dad pokes my belly and I will be the first one to say that I am the way I am because the way I am.
How much would you have to eat to be able to get to where you're morbidly sickly obese?
Wouldn't you get to the point where like
it's fucking gross.
I guess there's like a dichotomy there. So you would get to like say I'm 220 right now. If I got to like 450 You could either say, okay, I'm going to go the other way, or I don't care anymore. I'm going to go.
You're going down with the ship, huh?
Go down with
and
the
I'm
ship.
And I'm going to be honest, and I love you to death, but if you think your face is round now, can you?
You'd be unrecognizable. You'd look
like Brendan Fraser in that movie, The Whale.
But again, how
much would you have to let yourself go to get to that? How could any of us?
It's gross, man.
I don't know how overly active any of us are right in this room right here, but I'm going to tell you this. How much would we have to eat and continue to have a caloric intake to where we would be able to gain that much weight?
So what would you do? Just eat, not do
anything? I mean, you must not even move. And I mean, like eating, like you're eating an entire carton of ice cream like three times a day and you order like six value meals at McDonald's.
Sumo wrestlers.
I don't even know how you could do it.
Sumo wrestlers, famously, they'd have three dinners a day and then after each meal they would take a nap because it wouldn't burn anything. It'd be, your body goes into like storage mode. So they would eat and then immediately go take a nap, get up, eat again, take a nap. And that's, which, Again, I don't have a problem with people being overweight. I don't have a problem with it at all. I think it adds your character. I think you're your own person. I think to me, and this is another definite side of that coin. Have you ever known anybody that has been overweight and that's the way you know them, and then they lose weight and then all of a sudden they're different? Mm-hmm. There's a guy on YouTube named Boogie2988 who was massively overweight. He was humongous. He was like 600 some pounds, huge. He lost weight, got double bypass, gastric bypass. That's heart.
That's
shit.
Heart, yeah.
Bypass.
On their way, though.
Yeah, gastric bypass.
That might be all together.
Lost like 400 pounds. He's like 280, 300 pounds now, but he's skinny now, and he used to make funny videos because he was fat, and now he doesn't, and he's a totally different person, and he has lost a lot of the fame and energy that he had. So I think there are some people that are meant to be, maybe not meant to be, but that's just kind of how people are. Like, if you're big, I'm a big guy, to me, this is, if I want to lose weight and I want to be healthy, I could probably maintain it for a little while. But I think my end goal is probably like this right here. This is probably my end goal.
You act like you're 600.
Well, but I'm saying I'm like, if I'm probably, I'd say probably 30 pounds overweight. I'd probably say 30 pounds.
Okay.
But, like, that's probably as far as I would go. This is probably as far as I would go. And I don't want to really lose weight, and I'm not in the mood. I mean, I would like to lose weight, but I'm...
I mean, you feel... Like, if you go on vacation... Well, I actually lose weight when I'm on vacation. Because I eat better when I... And I'm a lot more active because I'm not sitting at my desk and I'm not, like, sitting in here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out and about a little bit more. But, like, you know when you start to feel like, oh, I'm bloated, like I'm getting like too, like we're all a little over, okay, but like not to the point, like you start to know like what you're saying. You can only take it so far, and then you're like, fuck, I gotta reel myself in a little bit. But yeah, it's...
So the John Brower Minock, he was born in 1941, lived to 83, so he's 42 and he died. How heavy do you think John Brower Minock got to be at his heaviest weight?
792.
I was going to say
do you know where John Minock was from?
Let's see.
I bet he's from the South.
Mississippi.
John Minock.
That's probably a fair question.
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, wow. That surprised me a little bit.
Oh, wow. That's kind of crazy.
Okay. So 7 what?
$7.92.
I said $7.20. I'm gonna go $8.60.
Well, you guys should have doubled your numbers because he was 1,400 pounds. He was 1,400 pounds at his peak. He was recorded as the heaviest man in history. Do you know what his occupation was?
Computer
gym
IT.
Teacher.
IT.
He was a taxi driver.
Oh.
Oh, that's okay. The whole seat had to be going in front.
He just died?
He died in 19...
I thought you said he was born.
1983. He was born in 1941. He was.
Oh,
yes.
I thought you said he lived to be 83.
They say his normal weight, other than his peak, his normal weight was 800 to 900 pounds. Normal weight.
I feel all right.
He owned
now.
A taxi company, worked as a driver around his home, and he had two spouses, which is phenomenal to me. Carolyn G. McArdle and Shirley Ann Griffin.
Were they conjoined twins?
No, he divorced one of them.
Did he eat one of them?
He divorced one of them. In an attempt to lose weight, Minhok went on a 600-calorie per day diet under doctor's orders.
That'd be hard for me to do.
That's hard to do.
600?
That's tough.
As a result, Minhok was bedridden for about 3 weeks before finally agreeing to go to the hospital in March 1978.
Wait. Back up. He became bedridden when he went on his diet,
yes.
But he wasn't bedridden before.
No, he had no energy. It says
he had fat stores. He ought to been able to go out and run a marathon or walk a marathon.
It says, yeah, he went to the hospital in 1978. It took over a dozen firefighters. Yeah, it took over a dozen firefighters to transport him to the University of Washington Medical Center in Seattle.
Real quick, what if you were on that fireman team? Like, how irritated are you at this point?
Pissed off.
So he said, that doctors diagnosed Minhok with massive edema, which is like when your legs get super big. And an endocrinologist estimated his weight at the time to be 1,400 pounds.
How much do you think Unkar Plutt weighed in Star Wars?
I'd say close.
Like, he had that
real
edema.
Close. And then, after around 2 years in the hospital, he lost over 900 pounds, which put him at 600 pounds. So he lost 900
weight, man.
Got to 600 pounds. It's the largest documented human weight loss of all time.
He turned anorexic. It's crazy.
After leaving the hospital, Minhok regained much of the weight and died in September 1983.
Wow. He was 42. See what happened? He fucking loses weight and he dies.
He was weighing.
It's an unhealthy lifestyle.
He weighed nearly 800 pounds at the time of his death, and the casket took up two burial spots at Mount Pleasant Cemetery in Seattle.
Who the hell were his pallbearers? Christ. Angle and
Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the 12 bastards from the fire department.
Yeah.
Well, probably like 8 of those guys had to file for workman's comp after that day.
So he claimed that he said he had a body fat percentage of 80%.
Oh, God. 80%.
And said that the reason he was so big was because of water retention.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
He said British obesity specialist David Haslam contends Minhok's water retention was a consequence of his severe weight, not the cause of it.
If you wrang him out dry, how many gallon jugs would you fill?
Fill Doyle's pool.
It said that he lived a conventional life. He stated he was in no way handicapped, and he attended Bothell High School and drove water taxis for 17 years. They operated a taxi company together with his wife, he actually had the reputation of a warm and funny family man.
I don't understand he got around, how he was able to move at that weight.
He said in March 1978, Minhok weighed 12 times his 110-pound wife, breaking the record for the greatest weight disparity between a married couple.
You know, if he wanted to kill her, he could just roll over in bed 100%. I'm glad you said great. That.
Maybe his arm would kill her. Like,
yeah. Job, I'm glad you said he was known as a
warm, funny family man.
Because here's going to be my question to you, and I don't want to make this cookie cutter. How many truly heavy people that you have met throughout your life are dicks?
Not a lot.
Not many. Because at the end of the day, unfortunately, they're very self conscious.
Jolly fellows.
They want to be liked because obviously they're a little self conscious of their image and stuff. There's not many heavy people that are fucking those dickheads we talk about all the time.
Yeah, I don't want to make a cookie point. Cutter, but.
Which I do. I do feel because I again I keep referencing myself. Like I know I'm self conscious the way I look. Like if I would go out, you know, the way out to the beach or something. So I can't imagine what other people like that are of severe like.
You think he spent much time at the beach?
Probably not. Probably not.
He went to water.
And it in like. I know what it's like to not be able to control myself when it comes to eating. Like, if I get into a scenario where I get on a roll, I'll eat just... There have been times in my life where I go downstairs late at night, and it'll go from shelf.
Let me ask you this question. What's the highest intake of calories you think you did in one day?
Ooh.
Ever.
Mm. Ooh.
I don't have a definitive on this, but I'm going to probably vote 4,000 to 5,000.
That's what I was going to say.
4,000 to 5,000 is probably fair.
Yeah.
And it was probably a gross day. Mm. I guarantee the next day I woke up and probably felt like complete dog shit.
Right.
Like I can picture like a day where you were hungover, you went and got greasy breakfast, and then you still felt like shit, and you ate a terrible lunch, a terrible dinner, and ate dessert. And
what do you think, Matt?
I'd say between 5,000 and 6,000. I've had days where I've not been healthy, but and you put booze in there with it because I'm actually extremely fortunate to be 6'4" because if I wasn't, I mean, I'd probably be dead. No, not that bad. I mean, because there are points in my life where I go through healthy stretches. Like I eat healthy on a regular basis, but when I go over the line, like Jubb said, once you start to get that downward momentum, and that's you're like, all right, I got a 20-piece nugget here. I'm getting a large fry. I'm getting a fucking shake.
Yeah.
And I don't really give a fuck. I'll worry about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's like the gloves are off. You're ready to go. It's just.
My portion control is horrific too. Yeah. Like I'll go to the drive-through and I'll just get a 10-piece, and then I get to the window.
Well,
I get a
20-piece.
Give me two plain burgers, and I'll get give me extra barbecue sauce.
You're afraid you don't get enough,
and then I'll go eat it like an animal in the parking lot, like a raccoon that just found.
How fast could you eat that?
He'd do it
3 minutes.
Quick.
Yeah, I would say. I would be. Sorry, it's got to be. Crazy.
No, I was going to say. Is that a sign of gluttony? Because I often think that I eat quick.
Just
eating. Volume. So for instance, you go to McDonald's, you order a value meal, which I'm not condoning, but if you want to do it, because I do it. I mean, I love it. I love it, but it's not good for me. But then you're like, well, that's not enough. I got to get a burger. Yeah. I got to get this. Yeah. So is that gluttony? Because I feel like I definitely am guilty of gluttony. If that's a seven deadly sin, I do it. And I don't want to, but I'm like, I'm not going to be full. Even though I will be. In my mind, I should be able to say, that's enough. I'm not going to die. I'll be fine.
And that happens to me when I go to a new restaurant or something, because I won't know what to pick. And instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to get this, I go, well, what if I like something else? So I'll get this and an appetizer and maybe another appetizer just so I can make sure I hit all my marks here. But like, I don't need any of it. And I just get it because I want to get it because it sounds good. But
it's a bad habit.
Because I've done what you've done too. Get a value meal or something. Then in addition to
And then
I get maybe halfway through. I'm like, why in the fuck? Why did I get this extra?
Usually doesn't happen that much to me, but I can see it happen. I didn't ever need the extra thing. I never did.
Have you ever, Matt? Because I don't do that where I'll get halfway through and I'll go, why did I get all this? I'll get to the end of my food and I'll go, that sure was good, but that was a bad idea. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have eaten that.
Actually, I'll man up right now and tell you last night that happened to me.
What'd you get?
Well, here's the deal. So two nights ago, so obviously we're on vacation right now, and usually when we're away on vacation, we eat out every night. So we're doing summer meals right now, quote unquote. So the last two nights we've done burgers and corn on the cob.
Okay.
All right. So two nights ago, and this is probably a wifey prom too, so I'm going to throw a shade that way.
She's here.
She's on
here.
The premises.
She probably can hear us.
Let's
go
get her in a brain. Let her explain herself.
Yeah. So real quick. So made burgers and corn, and she asked how many burgers I wanted. I said two.
Yeah. Good number.
I ate the two burgers, but I had, I think it was 3 ears of corn. Okay.
And it's so good.
At the end of that meal, I was fucking just a miserable fucking prick and glutton. Everything you talk about. Yeah. I'm having inner talks with myself. You fat fuck. I can't. Why in the fuck did you do that? Blah, blah, blah. So the next night we had back-to-back the same meals, made some burgers, and I said, hey, do me a favor, miserable last night, make me one burger and I'll just eat the corn tonight.
Right.
She's like, you know what, I'll make you two. If you don't eat it, it's not a big deal,
but it's there. Jeff,
the problem was it's Jeff Doyle, who's a glutton, can't pull myself away. So last night I was deuces, fucking same thing, felt miserable, had two burgers with me. Just dumb though. It's that guy didn't need it.
No need.
Did it have any effect, or did it matter because you're on vacation?
Without a doubt, without a doubt, I think that there is a different mindset.
But
right?
Jeff, yes. Let me ask you this. Did it taste good?
Here's the deal. Without a doubt, I don't regret my decision today.
Right. Exactly. Nor should you.
Exactly.
Nor should you.
See, that's my problem. It is, and I get on my mom and dad about this because they bring home sweets and things and like little treats that they sit on the counter. The fact that it's there is what gets me.
Got to keep it out of the house.
My mom gets this angel food cake that's in like a like one of those bundt cake shapes and from Respects, and she'll bring it home and sit it on the counter. And I'll come downstairs and maybe get a water or get like just something and or get my take my medicine or something or whatever. And I'll come downstairs and there's the cake sitting on the table. And I'll just go, talking you know what? It's going, hey, come on, just a little piece. And then I'll go over and I'll take one and I'll take a little pop. But then I had to go get water. So then I'm like, well, that took me a little bit of time. My hands are clean now. Let's get one more. So then I go another one. And I can't help myself. If it's there and I know it's there, I'm in trouble. Even if it's in a drawer or a cabinet or something, I had it.
Yep.
My mom bought chocolate chips. We were going to make s'mores pizza because we got that pizza maker, the pizza oven thing. So we're going to make a dessert pizza. And the other night I was like, man, chocolate sounds good. Chocolate sounds real good. And then I went downstairs, no chocolate in the house. It's like, okay, I didn't get my chocolate fill. Next day, she brings chocolate chips home. They're in there now. And I can
hear they're there.
They're like
it's like the telltale heart.
Like scratching under the floor.
It's like the Edgar Allan Poe. It's coming up from under.
And then I go downstairs and I do one handful. And then I turn around and get my waters, get ready to go up. Hands are clean. Let's get another one. Go pop one, go upstairs. Then I'm like, why did I just do that? Why did I do that? But, man, it tastes good.
I bet it did taste good. But we talked about this several shows ago about drunk food and stuff like that. Remember, I think you were on there. I think you may have been here. And obviously you were here, but there would have been a fifth. Remember we talked about when you're drunk? And then we talked about from a standpoint, what would you wash it down with? Okay, this is where I would be completely different. What you just got done explaining, it would be fucking gross to me that I either ate angel food cake and I grabbed chocolate and washed it down with the water.
You don't like that.
I'll be honest with you. And I don't mind water.
You think that's gross?
I'll be honest with you because it would have to be something flavor.
Like a flavor
me.
To get rid of it?
If I had that, I'd probably be skinnier because at the end of the day, like I wouldn't want it as bad. But when I wash it down with a Sprite or a Propel, like to me, it hits completely different.
Boy, I'll tell you
weirdo alert.
No,
I'm the same way.
Because
if I get a sweet, I want something that's not a water. Like, and I drink tons. That's all I drink. But if I eat the sweet or the certain food that triggers the need for that drink.
Well, so. You're right because. I remember commenting on that.
All right, this show's about ready to end. Thanks for everything.
But I had something recently. It might have been something for dinner. It wasn't breakfast and it wasn't sweets. And I didn't want water and I didn't have any iced tea, so I drank orange juice. I just needed something flavor.
Something different.
Yep. I did. I just couldn't do it with water.
I have felt like that before. I felt like I need some kind of flavor, but I thank God that I actually like water because my dad hates water. Hannah hates water because it's boring. Thank God I like water because if I didn't like water and all I drank was like Diet Pop and juice, I'd be probably 50 more pounds heavier because my dad got their zero sugar root beer now that they sell at Kroger.
Oh, Luke loves that shit.
Dude, I pound that stuff like I can't.
Zero sugar root beer?
I tried to look for a keg for it.
It's just a diet, though, right? It's just a diet.
It's just a diet pop. Yeah, but it just feels like even diet feels like it's curdling my blood. Like it feels like.
Well,
my,
who knows what those things, the sweeteners they put in that shit's going
like,
to do
like,
to us down the road.
And that's what I always say to Jarrett. There's no way it can be good for you.
I don't think it's good for you. I just think it keeps that artificial sugar in the fructose syrup out of your bloodstream, which is a problem that you're right. If you just drank sodas and stuff, that'll blow you up faster than the food that you eat.
Well, if you talk to anybody that's in the know, hands down, both are horrible for you, but the path of least resistance is still diet.
True.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And if I drank regular pop, I'd have diabetes, no doubt. No doubt I'd have diabetes.
You had a case of the diabetes.
No doubt I would have diabetes.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
But, God.
But again, back to what Jeff was saying earlier about mental. It really all is.
It's all mental.
Except I will say that the physical dependence on the sugar, if you go heavy on the sugar, the headaches that I get, I've told you guys that before, are fucking scary. Like it's the closest thing that I can assimilate to, or associate with a drug addict.
Like, I, oh, 100%. That withdrawal, if I would like go to my parents who always have sweets, which is terrible, I try to not tell them not to have them. If I eat a lot of sugar, the next day I have a splitting headache because my body wants it so bad. And I know that, and it's a terrible feeling. And I sympathize with those meth heads and stuff. It's got to be awful so to get off of it.
I mean, I'm 100% addicted to, like, just the act of eating, because I'll go downstairs and I try to eat when I'm hungry, but there'll just be times I'll be sitting watching something, and I'll go, man, something would sound pretty good right now.
Having a house full of food is dangerous.
I'll eat when I'm bored, out of boredom. Exactly. Like, I'll eat dinner at, say, 5:30, and then 3-4 innings into the Pirate game, well, you know what? I just bought a new can of cashews. I'll eat half that.
Yeah,
or I got some sweets, and I'm not hungry.
It's right. True, though.
I'm not.
So I started doing a thing now. We use paper plates at home instead of, like, regular plates, unless mm-hmm. we're having, like, an actual sit-down meal. So I'll do a thing now where I'll pour a little bit of chips on a plate so I don't take the whole bag with mm-hmm. me. But now what I do now is I go downstairs and I open the thing. We get these Dots pretzels. You ever have them?
Oh, they're great.
Unbelievable. Dude, we get the honey mustard one.
Oh, my God. That's crack, dude.
So I'd put them on a plate. Yeah.
You're right about that. You start them and you're going to finish them.
And I put on a little bit on a plate and I go, man, that's good. And, of course, I put more than I should. But then I look up and there's Cool Ranch Doritos right there. And I go, that'd be pretty good to have those, too. And then I'd put those on the plate. And by the end of the thing, I got three things of chips on my plate. And I go upstairs, and it's stacked. Like,
oh, my goodness.
It's horrible.
See, I'm going to blame your parents for all this. They're putting you through this shit.
Yeah.
Stop buying that stuff.
Yeah, Dad. Yeah.
God damn it, Mark Delbrue.
What if you opened it up and there's all that was in the house was some fruit?
I feel like I'd definitely be healthier. But then again, I would probably take
definitely out of it.
You would be. Have you ever been to – have you? What's worse than going to the store on a grocery store on an empty stomach. You ever done that before?
Oh, it's horrible.
It's the worst thing in the world.
You're going to buy everything.
Everything sounds good.
You're going to go broke real quick, too.
When I go to the gas station, I can't just buy one snack. I got to balance my palate. So I got to have a salty, sweet, and a sour.
Yep.
I'm horrible.
No, I don't know about that. You know what? Once again, you accept I'm a glutton. Who you are.
We're all human. Yep. We all have major issues.
I think it's different.
We're all going to die.
We're all going to die. But at the end of the day, as long as you are, if you can maintain, actually, Bert Kreischer, this is going to be a crazy reference. He always said he loves to drink. And the fact of the matter, he's always going to be able to try to do as much as he can to stay healthy, that he can always balance the alcohol with his life. At the end of the day, it's different. I know you keep on saying that you're some fat fuck. You're the
first. No, that's not what I'm saying.
But I want to get
But I'm overweight.
But that's fair. And so am I. I think we all are in this room. We all could lose a couple pounds. But as long as there's some sort of balance in life, that if you maybe are a little bit extra weight, but you still have the good blood work or whatever the case might be, to me, that's called balance. Yeah. So that's not a horrible thing. Would you like... I know I would like my appearance a little bit different if I took my shirt off or whatever, but it's never going to fucking happen. Yeah. It is what it is. So at the end of the day, as long as my numbers come back good and I'm a little bit overweight, to me, that's called balance.
A man's got to know his limitations, like Dirty Harry said.
Here's the deal. As much as Mark Delbrook wants me to take my shirt off when I'm cutting the front grass, it's not going to happen.
And I think it comes down to being happy. Like, I don't want to go to some smokehouse barbecue and get a fucking chicken sandwich and just have that.
No,
I want a rack of ribs and baked beans and corn on the cob. I want to speak of corn though. Corn this season's been unreal.
I'll be honest. We had so I was able to.
Where are you guys buying this corn at?
Well, and if you guys locally? Want me to bring some home, let me know. I've been with my travel a little bit the last couple weeks, work wise and baseball wise. Down in Marietta, a good bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then also...
Where you go, Witten's?
I don't know.
If you go down there...
I don't even know what it's called, Chris, to be honest
with
you.
There's one that's Witten's, and then there's one that's Henry's.
I'll reimburse
you. Not even worried about that. But here's... And also went to Morgantown this past weekend for a tournament. There was a roadside there.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good.
Yes, good stuff. So,
Chris, you ought to be able to find some when you go back to Ocean City. They'll be heavy, heavy out there on the side country roads on the way in. You'll get good corn late July.
Man,
you'll be in good shape.
And there's a feel to those types of places, too. There's a feel, and the appreciation those people have on you fucking buying their shit makes you want to go back 10 more fucking times.
Because those people putting the blood, sweat, and tears and getting that out there.
Planting the seeds, taking care of it all. Yep.
What it's all about.
That's awesome.
Boy. So here's the deal. The best part about this whole time, I truly came prepared for this podcast. And listen to me, though. And I think at the end of the day, I'm going to throw up on us for 1 second. I think the testament to a good podcast is when you come in prepared and you have things to talk about. We didn't talk about one of those motherfucking things, right?
Yeah.
I think that's actually kind of cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, so here's the deal. I'm going to end it right now. Are you guys good?
That's yes. fine yes. with me. Yes. You got a place to be.
Yeah, it's not even about that.
No, no, but I but Cheryl's here. I want to say thank you to Cheryl for always providing food up at the Pine Room. And
yeah, just being I'm ready for those meatballs. Talk about eating.
Oh, being a great neighbor. I always, hello, how are you? She's a great figure to look up to, especially as a kid, and I'm glad she comes down here and hangs out.
Well, you know what? And I love you for that, because you know how much I love my wife. Thank you for that very much. So, honestly, for episode 115, for Jubb Delbrook, Chris Pavlik, Matthew Watson, thank you all for your support. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Woo!
Good night.